Welcome back seems to be about the two most important words I can think of to say.
Hi, everyone. We are back on the mics, and I am back in the office from sabbatical.
Kalina's back! The longest 12 weeks of my life. And even my family said, wow, Mom, you're in a much better mood now that Kalina's back.
Ditto, because that was a long 3 months. To be honest, it's April 16th today. So I've had a month and a half to adjust back, but I needed it before we got on the mics.
That's because it took 6 weeks for you to dig me out of the hole of work I was piled under for us to be able to find time to do the thing that we love doing. So tell us, 12 weeks away from here, yes. How did you spend your time?
Oh, well, I mean, it was definitely like slamming on the brakes from work and social life and all of that. I just started a bar prep course, Barbary, and they basically give you 8 hours worth of work, recommended assignments each day, and you work through those at a self-paced. And I think the challenging thing is you have so much time at the beginning of 3 months, and if you're not disciplined, every one of those minutes are accounted for in those courses. And so I think it was really about waking up on time, getting a breakfast, getting into a habit. And, you know, when the bar is 3.5 months away or whatever, it's hard to be that disciplined, you know? And I knew from former experiences attempting to take the bar that nothing feels worse than that month ahead when you think of all the things you shoulda, coulda, woulda done, and time is ticking. And so I treated day one the same way that I treated day 90. And I think that was a saving grace. And really, I mean, a lot of the things Heather talked about, right? Like taking care of yourself in order to perform your best. And like, those are kind of counterintuitive, right? Like in the middle of the time is ticking, you know, you might be on hour 4 of an assignment, halfway through, it's taken you 6 hours. You're losing daylight. You're running against the clock, and the best thing you can do is go take a walk. Mm. And it's the last thing you have time for. It's the last thing you want to do.
It's that non-negotiable 30 minutes a day, she taught us.
Yes. And so I found that it really was the sanctuary space, and carving those things out is not my natural instincts to do, but it was super important for longevity and sustainability. Also really hard to not, like, you know, want to binge Netflix at night or something, but like you have to go to sleep at a reasonable hour so that you can wake up early and you can think clearly. You know, everyone's like, oh my God, your boss is so sick. She gave you 3 months off. And I'm like, yes, she's sick, but I'm not off. Like,
well, and I think just to catch people up and maybe for some new listeners, of which I hope we have many.
Yes. Welcome.
Thank you. Yes. Thanks to all those new folks. If you were with us in our previous episodes, we talked a lot about Kalina taking a break to study and prepare for the California bar exam. And what started out as a 12-week leave of absence, the transformation that I see is that you started calling it a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to hear more about your thoughts on why the change in even the words.
I think it was really a mind reset. Because I really was forced to take stock of all the things that I've learned about work-life balance, how to be successful, what I want my future to look like, and apply those day in and day out. And there, you know, I had an outpouring of support. Thank you to everyone who's reached out. My family, my work family, my friends, and everyone was like, is there something that we can do? Like anything. And there wasn't. It was giving me the grace and space to do it. And I had really bad, hard days and some easier. And it's interesting because, you know, they always say it takes 90 days to make a habit. And I really feel like I only started to like nail it towards the end. You know, it was definitely an uphill battle. You're like in this quiet space, noise cancel headphones, in your head the entire time. Like some days I didn't say a word.
Out loud.
Out loud. and you're thinking of the times that you haven't passed before. You're thinking about all the things riding on it. Like, while there's so much love and support, some days it feels like pressure. Well, and that mirror was tough.
Mm.
So I feel like I did a lot of thinking and resetting. And I think part of what do you come out of that 90, what is the habit out of 90 days is that balance. You know, we've spent a lot of time talking pre-sabbatical about work-life balance. And it was really time to put your money where your mouth is, you know? And I do think I came out with a better understanding of what I want my day-to-day work life to look like, my day-to-day mindset, how I treat myself.
Well, and to that end, you know, I want to say thank you and no thank you to a friend and colleague whose name is Jim Lynch that recommended that if we were going to do this and do it properly, that you would need 12 weeks to study and that you would have to study on day one the same way you studied on day 90.
Yes.
Whether it was flashcards, bar prep, bar classes, essay practice, and so Jim and frankly Janice too, his partner, thanks to both of you.
Yes, absolutely.
I have a few other specific shout outs because there were people that checked in on you along the way, people that went and listened to, fans that listened to our episodes.
Frankly, I don't even know. So thank you.
Christy Mills in Turlock, California, Susan Flint in Mill Valley, Heather Sager, a neighbor, Miles Horton, Tony Uchiferi, he lives in the East Bay. Terry Fakey in the Midwest, rather, actually on the East Coast now. Many people from varied listenerships, frankly, that are interested in what we're doing, the stories we're telling, how people get where they are in their business life. Laura Tolan, who says, the entrepreneurial stories are interesting, but what about us working stiffs? And I think that's someplace we'd like to go.
Absolutely.
Also, just people who care and are curious about your sabbatical and what comes next. And I think I want to be really sensitive and let you lead here. The outcome from where I sit of this effort is just the exercise in growth for you. What happens with the test, as far as I'm concerned, is whatever makes you happy.
Thank you.
Happiest. And it is not your obligation to share.
Thank you. I am still awaiting results, and they will come out in May. And fingers crossed. But like you said, I mean, this was a super transformative time, and I feel like I already passed, whether the results of the test or not. Like, it was a lot bigger to revisit something that you haven't been successful at multiple times was the test for me.
And you took it head on.
Thank you. Yeah.
And we like went into these separate silos too. It was like I was being given the silent treatment, and I tried my very best to respect it and not call out 911 Kalina every time I couldn't find something or, you know, I mean, we built a 2-year long relationship entangled in a positive way, a working relationship. And to untangle, I said to several people, where's Kalina? Well, she's on a 12-week leave. Mm-hmm. By the way, it's week 3.5. what I think I learned is, number one, that the paid part of the leave from where I sat wasn't as difficult as the leave part of the leave. And not that, no disrespect to the things cost money, and this is a business that, you know, we work hard and we can, right. we were able to afford it, and I do not take that for granted. However, being without you was significant.
Thank you. And likewise, you know, it made me really, I mean, as corny, absence makes the heart grow fonder, you know. You have to really think about what you want in life. You know, everyone is always like, how'd you and Stephanie meet? Oh, you went to law school? What are you doing in commercial real estate? What's next? What do you really want to do? And no matter how I got here, I mean, it really made me think, like, I like my life. Get me out of here and get me over this test because I want to go back to work. And, you know, directions change. I apply a lot of my legal training here, but for the indefinite future. Like, this is where I am. And I think, you know, we really realized how well we work together. I think we realized how well we've kind of created systems around the office and that they take both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you want to talk at all about the test experience itself? Or?
Oh, man. Has anybody read the news? Like, poor Cow Palace. But I took the bar exam at the Cow Palace. They consolidated all Northern California testing centers to one.
How many do you think there would there have been?
I think that there were two or three. I know that there was Oakland Convention Center and there was Sacramento.
And those didn't happen?
No. So.
Oh, I'm not sure I even realized that.
Yeah. So in order to save costs, which the Bar Association openly said was to cut costs, they consolidated to one testing center. And the Cow Palace is...
Old.
And it was, I mean, it was awful. Like, short of awful. I did take the bar exam previously in Sacramento. You have these... You know, this grand sweeping convention center.
Like
it's
a hotel.
It's nice.
What you can imagine for a conference, right?
I stayed in a hotel right next door, rolled out of bed, gone the elevator, crossed the street, and I was there. And, you know, some of the fellow testers that I spoke to were staying in motel-esque situations in Daly City, none of which were in walking distance of the Cow Palace. Prices were all jacked up.
Because of the test.
Right. As soon as it caught wind of the demographic that was going to be there and needing services. And, you know, we were locked out in the parking lot during breaks. And
locked out of the whole facility.
The whole facility. You had no access to restrooms.
Oh.
And if you hadn't drove yourself, you were sitting, I mean, hundreds of kids sitting on the, adults sitting on the ground, studying, trying to get warm in the sun, eating their lunch,
because
reviewing.
Because it's late February, right? So we're not
Correct.
Talking, it could have been raining.
Correct. And then, you know, in the testing facilities, I mean, you, as far as your eye can see in a auditorium is picnic tables, run down chairs. You're spending 12 hours in a chair that a folding, think of your worst nightmare folding chair at a, like, you know, assembly. In middle school, like, and, you know, you have 30 plus backs and knees all sitting at these tables and you look up, there's birds flying in the rafters. There's cracks of sun.
Birds inside.
Yeah. Cracks of sun in the ceiling, beams of sunlight on people's tests, water dripping from the HVAC. It was at best, I don't know, 47 degrees inside. People were like, shit. I mean, the first day is your laptop day. And so you're writing essays on your laptop and like my fingers just like wouldn't work the way that they normally do. And like not only do you have your nerves, which make you rattled, not only are you, you know, test anxiety, fatigue, all of these things. But when you're so cold that your hands just are slower, I mean, you need every second in that test counts. Like, yes, it's a long time to sit there, but it flies by. I mean...
By the way, I have to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote the essays on your laptop.
I did.
I have to shout out to a lawyer that I worked for when I was in college, Mike Cirillo. Thank you for all the training you gave me. But I remember talking to him about the bar. He, of course, you know, a lot of lawyers like to tell you stories about their bar experience and about all the blue books that he filled up.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember a blue book? Piece of paper. I don't think Kalina does. Piece of paper, blue piece of paper on the outside, line paper on the inside. Those are only by request now, right?
Yeah, it is an option. And, you know, a lot of people my age are like, who the heck is opting to write these?
This goes into the category of you need a signature on a check.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Did we tell that on this podcast?
We don't have to talk about that.
I may have sent out on, like, you know, my first month at this office, I may have sent out unsigned checks.
That's okay.
You know, that wasn't included on my sample directions of how to fill it out.
These are growth opportunities.
So, yeah, I mean...
On the subject of growth opportunities.
Exactly. The Cow Palace was less than desirable. It was super difficult and, you know...
And the time management's all on you, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so, like, another thing is I took all of my law school exams on that software and you have a timer counting down in the corner and...
You mean the practice tests were on their software?
the practice tests are on the software, but my law school exams, like my final exams, my midterms, they're all on that software. And you will get accustomed. I don't know to other law schools, but you get accustomed to having that clock. And when you log into the bar, that clock feature's gone. So if you haven't taken it before and you, you know, a desktop like analog clock or a wristwatch is permissible, but if you don't know the testing conditions or you're expecting that timer to be in the corner and you haven't brought one, you're just, you know, sensing time on the back of your neck. Like, and you know, you have 1 hour per essay
and you have how many in one day?
Six.
And then on the second day, it's all multiple choice.
It's 200 multiple choice questions. And these aren't like, you know, is the cat black,
these aren't
red,
ABC.
Or green,
right? Yeah, you have to read a paragraph, yes. You have to do analysis. And this used to be spread over 3 days, and now it's condensed to two.
Correct. And so it was, I mean, a culmination of a hard time off. It was a fitting experience at the Cal Palace. But, you know, with practice and more exposure, I definitely felt my speed increase. I definitely felt more confident in my reading comprehension. It works, you know.
The studying, the courses that train you, they train you in time management, in tricks, in test-taking tips.
Yeah, like you are, because you could, you know, they drone on and on about all these evidentiary facts, and all of a sudden they're asking you about, you know, a tort doctrine, and you've sat there reading a whole fact pattern with accessing what they call your Rolodex, my evidence Rolodex of facts, and I'm reading it with that lens, and all of a sudden it throws you a curveball. So by the end, it's just natural. You read the questions first, the possible answers first, and then you read with that lens, mm-hmm. because it knows, tells you where to access your Rolodex, mm-hmm. and what subject we're in and what kind of lens you're going to read these facts with. And like, those are all counterintuitive things, you know, and being aware of how much time you have for each question, the sheer endurance to read at that speed, comprehend at that speed, critically think at that speed.
So for the multiple choice day, if it's 200, you said, mm-hmm. how much time per question?
About 1.8 minutes.
I'm sorry, can you translate that one? So that's like a minute and 40 seconds?
Yeah.
Or a minute and 45 seconds? Mm. Okay, I'm tired just listening to you.
It is intense. It is.
And to what end are they making it so intense? I mean, what are they weeding out?
You know.
Or what are they testing for?
I mean, it depends who you're asking. If you're asking me,
yes.
I think it's,
yes, I am.
I think it's absolutely an exam and a profession of privilege. Like, if you can pay for these tutors, which cost thousands of dollars, and you can pay for 3, 4, 5, 6 months of living expenses and dedicate a full-time job to doing these things, and you will be successful, right? Everyone you meet is, oh, you know, don't worry about it. You didn't pass this time. I know my brother-in-law's sister's cousin took it 7 times, and you're thinking, like, first of all, I don't even have 7 in me. And do you know how much that costs?
Right.
You know, and to me, it's really an access issue. Like, I don't understand how an exam for a professional license can test skills and ability when you're not prepared to take that test post 3 years of law school. It's not measuring what we've learned in law school. There's a disconnect between what you need to pass the test to get your license versus what they teach you practically.
So what you're saying is you learned all the material in law school, and now they're saying, oh, and you need to run a marathon, by the way,
correct.
To pass the test,
so like
which we didn't teach you in law school.
Yeah, like if somebody asked me, you know, what's law school like, I would say you should expect a 4 to 5 year experience. Law school is 3 years, but they only administer it twice a year. If you can take them back to back, you know, February and July, more power to you, but a lot of people can't. And so you're looking at a year in between mm-hmm. your first and second attempt. You're looking at thousands of dollars. You know, just naturally, I mean, if you can afford to take time off of work, that's not going to happen after your first failure. You know, you're going to have to be studying part-time, working. And, you know, I just kept thinking about, like, people who are raising kids and people who have families and all of that to take care of on top of taking care of themselves, on top of studying. I mean, it is infamous for a reason.
Well, and even just, I feel like the way you were able to have the discipline to pull back and set your mind to try to achieve a goal and to tackle an obstacle, whether it's the bar exam, a CPA exam, a job change or career that might require a step back or a change in income level, you faced an obstacle and you decided to look at it head on. And I think these things that you learned from that experience are valuable in whether it's the bar or something else. Go back to law school, go back to grad school, get a teaching credential, you know, make a change. You can find a way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think something that really stuck with me when I interviewed for this job a long time ago.
What did I say?
I told you that I failed the bar. And you said, you know, it's not a failure. You didn't pass this time. And I looked at you and was like, you know, my real eyes were stuck in the back of my head. Not really. But I was just like, no, I freaking failed.
You thought
failed.
That was like, BS, yeah, is what you thought.
The Bar Association said as much. You failed the bar. Like, we regret to inform you, you know. And
shame on them.
Shame on them. But those words have kind of haunted me for a while, you know, like I've really wrestled with them. Failure, not pass. What's the difference? And like, I truly feel that this time around that landed with me, regardless, as I said earlier, regardless of the outcome of the test, like I faced a lot of my insecurities, my weaknesses, my strengths, and, you know, you learn a lot about yourself when you're stuck with it for 3 months. You better hope you're in good company. And I think whether you pass or fail, pass or did not pass, it's not a failure.
Very good catch.
You know?
It is not a failure.
Yeah.
I can't really think of a better way to wrap up than that. I appreciate that getting this personal is not easy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For opening up and trusting me. And everybody who might be listening. To lighten it up before we go.
Yes, please.
Want to talk a little bit about where we might go next?
Absolutely.
Wait, before we do that, what shows got you through the 12 weeks? What were your binge shows?
Oh, I was watching Suits.
All right.
I was a little bitter at Mike's memory, but other than that, it was motivation.
Yeah, only Mike can have that memory. So on the subject of episodes, I'd like to perhaps work towards not only interviewing female voices, but, you know, our theme song is pretty great. Mm-hmm. And the musicians are a group of Marin County dads, Marble Party. And I'm making an invitation right now, gentlemen, but we'd like to get you all here. We'd like to get you here to interview the band.
We want to hear who you think we would enjoy talking to, who you want to hear more of their story on in her business. Send us your suggestions.
You can find me on Instagram, StephaniePlant_talks. Boy, does she talk. And we want to talk to you.
Yes.
So find us. And again, Kalina, welcome back from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys. But when she left.